Welcome to the Omni Studio for Sunday, the 20th of July. That's the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Welcome to you wherever you are listening. Perhaps you're driving or exercising or trying to go to sleep, wherever you are when you listen to the Homily Studio. We're very aware too that some of you are preparing to give homilies this weekend. We hope that our conversation's helpful for you. But we also know that most of those who listen to the Homily Studio are people who are lectors for the Sunday, or just people trying to be prepared so that they may more deeply hear what the Lord is saying to us through these scriptures. So who have we got in the conversation today?
Kia ora koutou. Rory Patterson is my name, and I work for the Catholic Diocese of Christchurch as an RE advisor.
Kia ora koutou. I am Jelvin Cortez, and I work for Te Kupenga Catholic Leadership Institute, and I'm also a theology student, and I'm based in Auckland.
Kia ora tātou, I'm Catherine Gibbs. I guess I'd describe myself as a lifelong learner. I live in Lower Hutt, Te Awa Kairangi. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you all as part of this conversation. Let's take a moment to begin in prayer, aware as we always are that when we pray, we are not trying to twist the arm of God to do what we might want to fulfill our plans, but when we pray, we are seeking to relax into the divine presence, the divine will for us, which is the same as our deepest desire. So as we prepare to hear the Lord speak to us through these scriptures, we pray in the entrance antiphon for this Sunday. From Psalm 53, "See, I have God for my help. The Lord sustains my soul. I will sacrifice to you with willing heart and praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. See, I have God for my help. The Lord sustains my soul." I like that. Not a bad beginning. But the chance that you hadn't reflected too much on the entrance antiphon. You're right into the scriptures. What have we got to say about these scriptures?
Shall I just start about the first reading? I found that there's two great little stories in the scriptures. The first reading is the story of Abraham, who welcomes some divine visitors and provides some very generous hospitality to them. And the gospel is a gorgeous little story about somebody who works really hard and somebody who just sits at the feet of Jesus. And we learn what is, you know, we learn some messages there from Christ. So perhaps I just start by saying that probably the main theme for me that jumps out is, of course, about hospitality and generosity. And if we put these two stories together, to me, it highlights that hospitality is valued more highly over than generosity. Perhaps I can explain that a little bit later, but Abraham demonstrates extraordinary hospitality, using the to Ao Māori, there's a term manaakitanga, which means hospitality, but it means a much broader idea than just feeding somebody or providing a meal for people, making them comfortable. It's a term that manaaki shows respect to the visitor, even strangers, taking the time to appreciate more about them. It's a more intimate way of caring for people rather than just preparing a meal and feeding people. So I think it's a gift, manaakitanga, as a way of making travellers feel very welcome. It's a beautiful, beautiful concept in Te Ao Māori, and Abraham's got it.
I'd I was looking for a common theme for the readings today, and I'd probably sum this up in a few words. The readings for me today speaks about love manifested in different ways. So, in the first reading, Abraham and Sarah showed hospitality to the three men, and as well as the gospel reading today showed Martha serving Jesus and working hard. So this is service, the love manifested in service and through hospitality. And then there is Mary, who takes on a different form of love by being present, by sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening and waiting for this gift for her to receive. And in the second reading, Paul's suffering is another manifestation of love and his passion, his zeal of preaching to the Gentiles. And even the psalm talks about love. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. So if we look at the term justice here, it would eventually translate into love in the New Testament. So it's a bit of history there as well. So maybe we can unpack that later.
For me, I went in a slightly different direction. I was thinking about this gospel, and I was thinking it reminded me of so many different contexts that I've been in a work situation or even at home, when there's that tension about the tasks that need to be done and who's doing what and is it fair. And I was reminded of reading through, thinking, a psychologist friend once made the comment to me, people get cynical when they feel they've put more in than they're getting out. And I think just a simple phrase, it's never left me, and it applies in so many contexts in which I find myself. But you can see how this sort of conflict emerges in the gospel within Martha. She can see, I'm putting in quite a lot here. I'm not seeing that everybody else is. And she raises that with Jesus. And I think that's a relatable thing out of this gospel. One of the things I've been thinking about in relation to preaching lately, and it's around, I've got some feedback for preachers, whether it's appreciated or not. I think as a layperson sitting in the pews, you can, I've thought, is it possible to start to feel cynical about what we're listening to in terms of homilies when when they're flatly too long, and include too many semi-relevant personal stories from the preacher? Now, I don't want to push the boundaries of our discussion here, but I think in the homily studio, it's an opportunity to reflect on what is happening in homilies. And that's just something I've become aware of in the last year or so, listening to preachers.
Well, we could go down that track, Rory, and unpack the whole purpose of homilies and how effective they are, and the ones that are considered to be effective, why are they so effective? And I wonder if part of the reason for many homilies being considered to be not that effective is they don't actually deal with the issues that are being presented, not so much by ourselves and by our lives, but by God. So if we're to take that on board and charge directly into the pretty controversial Luke chapter 10, Martha and Mary. Now, of course, every time we say Martha and Mary, Well, certainly every woman in the congregation has a point of view about this. Mostly, it seems that Martha is getting a pretty raw deal here. You often hear people say, well, it's all very well for, Jesus to go there and eat the food that Martha had prepared. If Mary had been the cook that day, nothing would have happened. There'd be no food. But I wonder if we're to go deeper, like, what's it really saying? Why is this scripture here? Why is it such a well-known scripture? Well, it's such a well-known scripture because it pushes our buttons, and anything that pushes our buttons like this has to be good for us in terms of revealing inner knowledges or fears, or perhaps, as you say, Rory, the ways in which we don't feel as though we're getting out as much as we're putting in. But notice this reading. So Jesus comes to the village. Martha welcomes him. Martha is the welcomer. Martha welcomes him. And then, as an aside, she's got a sister called Mary who sat down and listened to him. Now, it seems at this stage, here are two loving sisters. Like, they both love Jesus. One just sitting at the feet listening, the other goes out and welcomes them. Well, that's fine. We all play our roles in our household. But notice that Martha really brings the focus of the Lord onto herself. It's Martha who was distracted and who starts on a moan. Martha says, Lord, do you not care that my sister's leaving me to do all the serving by myself? Well, at that point, she's really asking for trouble. Now, if Mary had said, look at my sister there, she's up and about and doing so many things, and yet you come and visit, why doesn't Mary? Why doesn't Martha just sit down with us and listen to you? Then chances are the Lord would have turned on Mary. Did Mary, Mary, you worry and fret about so many things? Because the problem here isn't that Martha was doing all the serving or that Mary wasn't. The problem is that Martha was not happy with what she was doing. Maybe, as you say again, Rory, like Martha was feeling as she wasn't getting out of it as much as she was putting in. So there are many rooms in the house of God. Like, there'll be many different ways of doing hospitality. But how satisfied are we with our own way? Like, how satisfied am I with the way that I naturally and comfortably do things? Or am I always comparing myself as Martha does to someone else? Now, that's a way by way of charging into this gospel reading, which is so often so unpopular, and trying to focus on what's the real point? Like, what's the real problem here? And I think the problem is Martha. Not that she was doing all the serving, but that she wasn't happy with her way of being. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's much wrong with Martha, other than her priorities were a little bit wrong in that she chose to not be in the room with Jesus. She chose to be in the kitchen, which was culturally and appropriate for her at the time. That's what women did, worked, did prepared the food and didn't sit and listen to the visitors so much. But she was distracted. She shut herself out of the opportunity of a lifetime, didn't she?
In what, where, Catherine? By doing what? By saying what?
By not spending time in the presence of Jesus, by running around peeling the potatoes and preparing the sauces and t setting the table, and she was distracted by those very ordinary daily things, which is being hospitable and generous. She was generous with her time and her resources. But having monarchy is more about being respectful and honoring who's come to visit. And I think for me, the message is, and I'm guilty as this as anything, that work can make us who we are. We think for many of us, work makes us, identifies who we are. And so work becomes more of a duty. It's more important than actually being present to others. And we may well be missing an opportunity when God is speaking to us. So another kind of bigger message for me is really about how aware are we, how open are we to recognizing the presence of Jesus when we're with others.
I think, Catherine, that applies to a range of things in life, but I'm thinking particularly about prayer. You could apply it to exercise or to relationships. That, I recently had a coffee with somebody. I think it's almost 10 years since the previous catch up. And we both said, how are you? Oh, we've been busy, And it's ridiculous because everyone says the same thing. But we can be. I think you're right. I think, Martha, we can busy ourselves with the tasks of daily life, our work, our family life, the jobs that need doing around our homes and so on, and busy ourselves almost at times deliberately to avoid a more important task, which might be about tackling something difficult. But I think prayer is something that a lot of people struggle to build in amongst, I've got this task to do and it's the end of the day and I'm still got to fold that washing over there, and it gets pushed out a little bit. And I think that is something that we could pick up on in this gospel to think about priorities.
Okay, look, I'm going to dig here a little bit further and probably get myself into a bit of trouble, but I don't think the problem was what Martha was doing at all. I don't see the person who's in the kitchen doing all of the work there as in itself problematic if that is their vocational call. It's when I'm doing that, moaning about what someone else isn't doing. There's the problem. I wouldn't want this reading to reinforce the importance of sitting and being still with Jesus. I think we've gone down that in a way that's too unhelpful. I think for most people I know, their lives might allow 2 minutes sitting still in a day, but probably not. They sit still, and all of a sudden, one of the kids needs something, or the partner or husband or wife needs something, or the boss calls, or there's always something. I think the important point is whatever situation you find yourself in with so many demands, that's the place where you pray. In the midst of whatever's going on, talk to Jesus about that stuff. Not by saying, oh, Jesus, this life is just too difficult, and why can't I have a life like theirs? Which is what Martha was doing. But instead say, here I am in the kitchen. My peeling the spuds and cooking the rice is going to be my prayer. Because I think if we don't go down that track with the scriptures, we're really making it very difficult for the so many people whose lives like are so impossibly busy with so many demands. Jovine, you're waiting there to say something.
Oh, I'm just reminded by my mother talking about the work that Martha is doing. Because my mom works full time, but she loves cooking. And every time we drive down visit them, she would cook maybe for 2 or 3 days, seriously, nonstop, and she'd stay up late just to prepare a feast, essentially. And we always tell her, don't do much, don't cook a lot. And she always does that to everyone, not only to us, her children, but to her workmates, to her friends. And you don't hear her complain about it. She's not tired. She's happy, and she just finds joy in giving and serving. And I think that's a really good way of her, that's her lo love language, as we say. It's about giving and serving. So I think that's what your point there, John, which is being happy with what you do, whatever you do. And yeah, it just makes yeah, it just gives her a lot of joy, and also to us.
Good example, Jovine. That's great.
Is there something in the reply of Jesus to Martha that can invite us to, when he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. He's prioritizing for Martha, isn't he? He's basically saying, you're not thinking about that which is most important. Can we look at this gospel as an invitation to look at our priorities or the things that we fill our minds with and that we worry about and that we're anxious about?
Very good point and good question, Rory. I think that Jesus' response, as you say, is central because notice that Jesus says to Martha, "You worry and fret about so many things, and yet few are needed." Now, the thing that was needed wasn't that Martha not be in the kitchen and that she starts sitting at the feet of Jesus. That wasn't what was needed. What was needed was for her to stop worrying and fretting about, oh, there's Mary doing this, and who else is doing this, and if I didn't do the food, then that was the problem. So Martha's place, it seems, and we all know many people like this, was in a very comfortable vocational way of living and managing the home. Perhaps while they've also got a job outside the home, but there's food there for the kids and everything's managed. And yes, their life is very full, but they're not saying, oh, why isn't this person doing that? When they're doing that, that's the worrying and fretting, which is the problematic thing. Some people are called to be in the kitchen. Some people are called to be in the workplace. Some people it's called, well, it's hard to see what they're called to. They don't seem to do much at all. And then there's other people who do live in contemplative monasteries, but each to their own. I think the problem with the scriptures is when we make out that life in a Trappist or Carmelite monastery is the ideal. It is simply not. For those who are called, yes, but not for all of us, certainly not for me.
Well, I'd like to relate that to the second reading as well, because Saint Paul said, "I rejoiced in my sufferings for your sake," and which means this is the work that he is called to do, to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And he is happy, more than happy, he is rejoicing that he is suffering for Christ. And that's another good point to look at, how not to be anxious and not to be worried about, what we are going through, but rejoicing and finding that the happiness in what we are called to do.
Well, I drop in here the psalm then. Actually, I have a problem with the psalm because there's so many negative statements with it. So we'll just stick with the response. Those who do justice will live in the presence of the Lord, doing justice. And we've got all those examples of, lend not and harm not, and so on, and it really needs a bit of a rewrite. But doing justice includes all these things everyone's been talking about today, about being prayerful and being enjoying what we do and knowing that what is our gifting, and being grateful and aware of the presence of God in wherever we are and whoever we're with. One of the things that is very common these days, which I just want to mention, is which bothers me, is the cell phone, our mobile phones at table. And this is one of the things that I really hope that perhaps is a takeaway. But we see in cafes and restaurants and stuff, families eating together, but the children are not engaged in any conversation at all at the table. They're not, the parents are with their phones, and kids are just left to eat their food and look around. And this whole about the whole day about being present with others, Jesus was very eager to have interpersonal encounters with whoever he had, whenever he was eating. He was at table all everywhere, including the Last Supper. And it was the important bit was being present and listening and having conversations, paying attention and focusing on the people or the person you are with. And I wouldn't like, I don't want to go anywhere near, let's stay in the kitchen and cook the rice and make sure that the rice is cooked at the right time. I think the message for me here is about acknowledging and recognizing the presence of each other and the presence of Christ when we are together. Yeah, I hope that's a bit of a take home, really.
That's a great start to the take home, Catherine. Who's next?
Well, mine, I've changed mine based on the discussion we've had. In fact, I'm again going to use a question, but my take home is something along these lines. Am I being present in what God is calling me to do? Or am I really focused on monitoring the others around me and what they're doing?
Okay.
I think this gospel invites us to ask a question of ourselves like that. I had initially, am I finding happiness in what God is calling me to do? But I think that's slightly different again. I think, am I being present is a better way to evaluate at this point.
I'd like to end with the Gospel acclamation, blessed are they who have kept the word with a generous heart and yield a harvest through perseverance. I guess it sums everything up in terms of what is or who is our priority. Are we nourishing our spirit with the word of God? How is our relationship with God? I think that's the start of manifesting our love for others in it can in terms of service or being hospitable or even our suffering. Where is it grounded? What's our foundation? I think it starts with our relationship with God, and then we work, we persevere, and we love, so that we can, we can all be happy and find joy in what we're doing.
Great, thank you all. Wherever you are listening, as you are listening, you will have had your own thoughts and reflections. Please share those with us on the at the comments section below this podcast. Let's draw all of our thoughts, our conversations to prayer. Again, seeking to recognize, to see, to hear, to experience the Lord speaking to us through our circumstances, whatever they are. Perhaps we're feeling busy, perhaps we're feeling more contemplative or reflective. God is everywhere, so whatever our situation, let's seek to recognize, to hear the Spirit of God. As we pray in the collect, the opening prayer for this Sunday, show favor, O Lord, to your servants, and mercifully increase the gifts of your grace, that made fervent in hope, faith, and charity, they may be ever watchful in keeping your commands through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.